Not long ago, the wire services carried a report from South Dakota about a vanload of 14 men from Mexico who had been abandoned in that state. South Dakota authorities found the men inside a van parked along a state highway. They ranged in age from 14 to 54 years. They said that when the vehicle developed mechanical trouble, the driver left it and was picked up by another vehicle. The men who had been abandoned were not citizens of this country, but they had been recruited in Mexico by U.S. employers working through others, who told the men they would be given jobs in Chicago if they agreed to pay a transportation fee and then a large percentage of the salary from their promised jobs in Chicago. The men had been told they would get the jobs, work for a few months, then return to Mexico. Well, the report from South Dakota was astonishing for two reasons, we thought. First, the men had been in the van for 2 days without water and with a small amount of food. Second, they were abandoned by the driver in a snowstorm, and none of them had clothing necessary to withstand the harsh northern climate. The men from Mexico stranded in the van are officially classified as illegal aliens, but they were destined to become part of the U.S. workforce in some way, and so they are what some have chosen to call undocumented workers. Today on Midday, we'll learn more about the problems created on both sides of the border by the problem of undocumented workers or illegal aliens. We'll be talking with two men. Jose Trejo is the executive director of the Spanish-Speaking Affairs Council. That's an advocacy agency for Minnesota's Hispanic population. And that council, by the way, was created by the Minnesota legislature last year. It recommends legislation and serves as a liaison between government and the Spanish-speaking community in Minnesota. Also joining us is Manuel Guerrero, the former chairperson of the Chicano Studies Department at the University of Minnesota for 3 years. And Mr. Guerrero still teaches classes in Chicano history and politics, and he also practices law in St. Paul. Gentlemen, thanks for joining us, and good afternoon to both of you. A number of questions come to mind about the problem of undocumented workers, and I don't think there would probably be a better way to start the discussion than, Jose, if we began with you with some other examples of undocumented workers who have come to Minnesota. First of all, what do you think is the number of people involved here?
Well, the estimates range throughout the United States anywhere from 5 to 7 million individuals. It is difficult to pinpoint the exact number of people involved simply because there's no records kept. Secondly, most people assume that this is a problem that or an issue that only affects the southwestern states or the border states. However, we have repeatedly known of cases of individuals coming as far north as Minnesota in search of a job, and also there's a pipeline to Chicago of undocumented workers for the industrial areas.
Manuel, why are these people called undocumented workers by some and illegal aliens by the government? What is the distinction?
I think that the term illegal aliens has a pejorative term. There's sort of a negative impact when we use that term, and those who are interested in this area seem to prefer the term undocumented workers, primarily because I think it accurately describes describes the situation. And that is that most of these people whom you refer to as the undocumented worker are here for that reason, and that is to work. And a recent study issued by the Massachusetts Institute of Technology indicates, as a matter of fact, that many, if not the majority of Mexican workers who migrate illegally to the United States are temporary rather than permanent with an intention and who actually do return to Mexico.
Jose, I wanted to ask you about this issue of who recruits the people. We have heard now this story of the van load of 14 men found in South Dakota, apparently recruited by somebody who said they were going to take them to Chicago. What are some instances you have heard of? How does this connection between the undocumented workers who come from Mexico to the United States, who do they contact, or who contacts them, I guess, and what sort of jobs do they end up in?
The recruitment process is a very large word-of-mouth type operation in the northern parts of Mexico, northern cities. What happens is a person will come in from other parts of Mexico into the city, into the northern cities or frontier towns, and wait to get across. Generally, they either are approached by someone or they approach someone whom they have heard they can get them across. Fees for getting them across the border range tremendously. Some of them charge $250, others charge a certain portion of the earnings and so forth. Employers will work indirectly or directly with recruiters or with, as they're called in the common trade, coyotes. In fact, in the lingo of the undocumented workers, the documented workers themselves are called pollos or chickens, in the sense that the coyote can go and pluck the chickens. So this is a very vicious method of working with people who have basic human needs like food, shelter, and clothing, and using these needs that the people have and taking advantage of them by bringing them across. The once they have reached some type of verbal agreement to come across, then they come across in a variety of ways. Most of the time, they come across on their own across the border, and transportation is provided on the American side. And then they may be moved north into the different areas. In Blue Earth, Minnesota, last summer, the deputy sheriff stopped a van. They had a door that was slightly ajar, and they stopped the van to inform the driver that the door was ajar in the back, and found out that they had 29 people packed in the van. 14 of the 29 were women and children. So that it is not just the men that come across, but also women and children that are brought over.
So what is the economic incentive, gentlemen, for these workers from Mexico?
If I may respond, the economic incentive is certainly the question of jobs. This studies have shown that the vast majority of illegal aliens or undocumented workers who come to the United States do not, in fact, take jobs away from Americans. The jobs that they do take are those jobs that are the least desirable in the United States labor market. They are the dirty jobs, the hard jobs, which generally have poor working hours and poor working conditions. And to bolster this or to show evidence of this, studies have been done on those jobs that have been vacated by undocumented workers in the West, and efforts to fill those jobs have failed. So that I think this is ample evidence to show that people come here for the reason of jobs. You know, I was coming down to the radio station today. I noticed that people here in St. Paul were buying, it seemed to be buying and spending with a frenzy. And we take all of this for granted. And it's a wonderful thing that we're able to do this as a country. But I think what we forget are people who are coming from Mexico to the United States simply to fill the basic requirements of living, that is, to meet the most fundamental of basic human needs, that is, the right to eat and the right to live. And that's the reason most of the people come. Mm-hmm. Most of this money, by the way, always, or a great portion of this money goes back, returns to Mexico to bolster the Mexican economy.
And some of it, of course, is siphoned away by the agents and the others who take their cut of the share.
Certainly.
Jose, I want to return to something that you were talking about, and that is a bit more background to who these people are who are the agents, who act as the go-betweens, you might say. Now, we heard in this one story, one report from South Dakota, that the men were headed for jobs in Chicago, and yet I assume that a number of the jobs are agricultural jobs, too. That would apply to our region. Who are the people who are interested in hiring undocumented workers from south of the border?
Well, if you were to try and determine specifically which employers are interested, that will be an impossible task. Most employers will tend to say they will hire anyone that mm-hmm. applies. You know, it's a way of copying out and a way of saying, well, I really don't know. Secondly, it is not a crime to hire any illegal or an undocumented worker. It is a crime to be in the United States without documents, but it is not a crime for the employer. So at the present time, the employer can hire any individual. And for the most part, most employers will say they'll hire whoever applies. The thing that happens is that there are certain areas, agricultural being one of them, textile industry being another one, and then the very dirty type jobs, the lower jobs that are difficult to fill by the local population. Those are the types of jobs that will tend to draw people who are willing to work and who want to work. The other thing that has happened is that in many instances, undocumented workers do not create problems, do not join unions, do not become demanding of their job status and so on. And so therefore, they're very good workers. They they don't complain. They don't join groups that may complain against management.
I'd like to add another factor to what Jose is saying relative to the impact that Mexican workers have in this country, and that is that these Mexican workers generally contribute far more to Social Security and to the tax revenues than they cost in the social services. So they pay taxes, they pay Social Security, and they don't call upon those services in return, which imposes a burden on the U.S. economy.
We see a very unusual situation here because we have now covered the background, indicating that the undocumented workers fill jobs that many other people in this country, citizens of this country, do not want. And if the reports that you cite are to be believed, they indeed return money to the system or in some way contribute positively to the system rather than drawing on the social services of the United States. And yet, in our in the political sector of our culture in the United States, there are groups of people, notably the Ku Klux Klan, who have now mobilized to set up their own informal patrol of the border between Mexico and the United States to try to prohibit the crossing of Mexicans into this country. And we see a constant reminder, we hear constant reminder from those groups that these workers are hurting the U.S. economy. And this seems to me to be a powerful image that has been built in the minds of many Americans, that the undocumented workers are hurting our economy, and yet we see many employers apparently willing to hire them. And Jose, I was most curious about your fact that it is not illegal for employers to hire undocumented workers.
There's been attempts that have been made in the past in Congress and to make it illegal to hire undocumented workers. However, this creates a lot of problems. Then who is an undocumented worker, and will the citizens of the United States be required to carry identification papers at all times? So there's been some civil liberties groups who have opposed the idea of individuals, you know, of penalties against undocumented workers, simply from the fact that it's difficult to enforce. Secondly, is every American citizen going to be required to carry at all times with them a birth certificate? And thirdly, if that is the law, then how about those people who are of Hispanic heritage, that are born and raised in the United States, are they going to then be set aside or put aside on the basis that they are Hispanic, and so therefore they may be illegal, so we don't want to hire them? So it does create problems. So there's some very critical issues involved. And so, therefore, the law, you know, does not exist to hire them. One of the things that I would like to see more is not so much whether an employer can hire or not hire, but that the United States should look, that these government agencies should look at these individuals that as having basic human rights. That is, for example, if they are hired and employed, then for whatever agreement, whether verbal or otherwise, they should receive those wages. In instances, there have been many instances where the individual comes to work and then gets picked up by the immigration services and gets shipped to Mexico and never received the wages they have earned. The other things we think that they have basic human rights, like adequate housing, adequate services if needed. We have documented cases of individuals who have been denied medical treatment when medical treatment was needed because on the basis of their illegal status. We have cases of individuals' basic legal rights totally violated simply because of the fact that they had no legal standing. And we have attempted to work at the local level, like through the Human Rights Department of the city, to point out to individuals that, yes, even though they're here illegally and have no legal status, they do have some human rights status.
Well, as you point out, the promise of some economic reward can very suddenly turn tragic for an undocumented worker crossing the border in this country if, as you say, the employer turns over the person to immigration authorities. Let's talk for a minute about that process. What happens to a person, an undocumented worker, when they are discovered, essentially, or the employer turns them in or the immigration officials discover them? What is the process?
What happens here in Minnesota is they're immediately placed usually in the detention facilities, the county jails, until arrangements can be made to for their transportation back to Mexico. And I might add also, during this period of detention, many of these people are denied the basic civil rights which are guaranteed under the Constitution. The Constitution, by the way, applies not only to citizens, but it also applies to anybody found within the limits of the United States. These rights are never accorded to the undocumented worker.
What about a general amnesty? What about the government just saying, all right, we agree that we have perhaps as many as 7 million undocumented workers in this country. Let's not worry about it. Let's just allow them to show up at immigration offices, the post office, wherever. They can file for landed immigrant status or whatever. We'll stop worrying about this and applying our resources towards this problem. What is your reaction to that, Jose, first?
Well, I think that a process could be developed in which individuals could obtain or gain legal status in this country. I think that the quotas they have been established for Latin America in particular are unrealistic in the view that there are quotas for other countries that have never even been filled and haven't been filled for years. So that on the one hand we have quotas for immigration from South American, Latin American countries that are booked up for years and into the future, while we have some from European countries, in Australia, for example, who you know that whose quotas are not going to be filled. A very realistic look at that. Where do the needs lie? Secondly, a realistic look at if President Carter is talking about human rights and human issues, then we need to look at right here as to what this could be done, how it could be done to better set up a process or a system. The impact of the economy, many of these people may not even want to stay. They want to work. So the impact on the economy is not going to be detrimental at all since they're already here. It's just a matter of allowing them to work, allowing them to collect what monies they have earned, affording them the kind of legal protection that every other citizen has. And then if the time comes when they so wish to return, you know, they can return without being hunted down.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that we have seen under the present system is that if they're picked up by immigration officials, they do have a right to a hearing. However, this is a complicated process, and it's a lengthy process, and most of them cannot post bail, and it can take, you know, from a couple of weeks to several months before they even get brought up to hearing. Mm-hmm. So in some cases, it's taken 3 or 4 months. And so most of the people will opt to just to be deported. And or we have known cases in which the individual gets picked up during the work day, particularly like, let's say, a woman, for example, will get picked up during the work day and gets transported immediately to Chicago, which is the processing center for the Midwest, before even the family is notified of what has happened to that person. So
she doesn't come home?
No, she doesn't come home. Once they get picked up, they don't get a chance to go home at all. So they get...
No telephone call? No letter?
No, this is very seldom afforded to them. Either it's not explained that they can do that, or simply the people just assume they have no legal rights and therefore they don't have to worry about it.
Mm. Manuel, what about the possibility of simply declaring that those undocumented workers in the country now be allowed to remain, no questions asked?
I think that's an excellent idea, and as a matter of fact, that's one of the answers being advanced by some commentators. That is that undocumented workers in this country be ordered to report to an immigration office, given a 6-month permit, and so long as they are employed in the United States, and so long as they a return after the expiration of that 6 months, that should take care of the situation, and that there should be no limit on the amount of 6-month permits imposed. That is, that it's sort of a push-pull situation, and that they will come and go as they please. After all, that border is 2,000 miles long, and they can't build a wall or hire enough border patrols to stop that migration. And it seems to me the best thing to do is to recognize that and try to deal with it in a realistic fashion.
However, we've pointed out earlier in the discussion that many of the undocumented workers in this country right now have taken jobs that other American citizens have refused to take. Wouldn't it be a perpetuation of more than a class difference, a real racial difference that would be perpetuated if this situation were not only allowed to exist, but perhaps even encouraged by offering people a work permit for a period of time, allowing undocumented workers to stay? Wouldn't that be contributing to continuing racial prejudice?
Yes, we already have both of those. We have a racial society and we have a class society in the United States, and I think we ought to recognize that too. I don't think that it would be a continuation or a permanent situation for most Mexicans. After all, Jose and I are both ancestors of Mexican people who were, in fact, migrants who came into this country looking for work, much as the undocumented worker is doing today. And we were able to rise, we and our ancestors were able to rise out of that class, and it seems to me that that the undocumented workers, if they choose to do that, should also be given that opportunity.
Jose, as we have pointed out, there is very little available to undocumented workers in the way of Social Security benefits, disability, pension. There are none of the advantages of having paid in taxes and then being able to participate in some of the social services that the government makes available. What is available to the undocumented worker if they encounter problems but have to, because of their status in this country, do it discreetly?
Well, it is not so much what is or what is not available as far as the legal terminology is concerned, because services are supposed to be provided on the basis of need. What happens many times is that governmental agencies, like welfare offices or individuals within those agencies, have a feeling that they are there to protect the tax dollar, they're there to do certain things, you know, and so there are, so we have cases in which the individuals have been turned in by the social service agencies for which they have gone to ask for assistance. As a result, because if you have one or two cases like this expressed like wildfire to the community and say, hey, I'm not going to go over there because I know if I go over there, no matter how sick or no matter what I need, it's policy that I'll get turned in. And the fear develops, very strong fears. And so people will rather be ill or rather not, go hungry than take the chance of getting turned in. And yet, this is what the agencies are there for, is to assist those that need. As far as the other thing that is happening, and we think is a very bad thing for us, is that in some instances, for example, in Minneapolis, law enforcement agencies have come into social service agencies that are Chicano social service agencies and have demanded a list of clients and have demanded a list of individuals and have demanded to know whether or not this agency is serving any illegal workers. So what happens is that on the one hand you have Chicano agencies that are being harassed by law enforcement people for providing services to human beings. And on the other hand, you have the people being afraid to go to the governmental agencies because the government agency representatives may turn them in. So in a sense, then, even though the services technically or legally may be available, people are afraid to take advantage of them.
Mm-hmm. Manuel, do you agree with that assessment?
I certainly do. I'd like to say something about that fear that Jose mentioned on a personal level. And that is something you never really feel unless you actually experience it. And perhaps you never really think about it until you actually see the kind of fear that is instilled in the minds of people who are in this country without papers. And I'm certain that I can just visualize the people that you mentioned at the beginning of the program in that van, just cowed with fear, not knowing what was going to happen to them. And I don't know why it is that they have such a fear and distrust of what they call La Migra, but is actually the Immigration and Naturalization Service. But the fear is there, and it's a very human thing that many of the workers deal with and live with, and as a result of that fear, they don't seek out the services or demand any of the rights that they're entitled to as human beings.
Now, there is something that has been in my mind as we have been talking about this problem of undocumented workers in the United States, and it is one that we should perhaps tackle as we conclude this discussion, and that is a differentiation between undocumented workers and migrant workers, because I have a feeling that while we have tried to give some fairly detailed definition as to who undocumented workers are in this country, there are no doubt people in Minnesota, I'm sure, since I was born and raised in a rural community, who look at a person with a darker skin color and see them working in a sugar beet field, and for the life of them, they may not know if that person is an undocumented worker, a so-called illegal alien, or a migrant worker with a different status. What is the difference, Jose?
There is a definite difference in the fact that the migrant worker, generally speaking, will be a citizen of the United States, born and raised in the southwestern states for the most part, and who comes to Minnesota or to the northern states to work for the summertime and then goes back to the home base in Texas for the winter months. physically, of course, there's very little difference between one group or the other. You know, by looking at them, you really can't tell whether a person is here legally or illegally. And in some instances, the illegal workers will commingle with the legals and come in groups to work. And one of the things that, you know, within our own community, you seldom ask if a person is here legally or illegally. You just assume that everybody's legally, so you know, you just go about your business. But that's the difference, is that the migratory worker is an American citizen.
I'm curious, too, as we conclude this discussion, about one more thing. What is the attitude that the two of you encounter from people, taxpayers, but more importantly, perhaps, business people in this country as they talk about the problem of undocumented workers? We started out by talking about the fact that a lot of people believe that the undocumented workers are taking away jobs from American citizens, and yet we live with the fact that between 5 and 7 million undocumented workers hold jobs. Is it your feeling, both of you, Manuel, that the undocumented worker situation is being tolerated because that's the only way the job is going to be done in this country?
Exactly. It seems to me that they are being exploited from the standpoint of being cheap labor, constituting cheap labor, and as a result, you don't have that hue and cry among business people or industry, for that matter. Generally, the negative aspects that I receive are from the middle class people who don't deal directly with undocumented workers.
Jose, is that your experience?
Yeah, I have basically the same feeling that, you know, the employers, for the most part, have not taken strong stance against undocumented workers. And the only groups that have, in some instances, taken strong stance, even like unions, and some unions may have. But for the most part, it is a process that is tolerated, that it is acceptable, because it is a way of filling employment or labor needs.
Finally, gentlemen, what is the next session of Congress coming up in January going to do about this issue of undocumented workers, if anything? And what other legislative activity can you point to right now?
My guess is that President Carter is going to encounter some very strong resistance against any changes in the present immigration and naturalization laws, and that therefore his program to grant amnesty to those who are without papers in the United States will not pass. And I don't see the prospect as being too optimistic.
Jose.
I feel the same way that Manuel does, in the sense that the pressure to not to provide amnesty is getting stronger. And also there's a lot of fears that people have been led to believe, as you say, by the Ku Klux Klan and other groups. A lot of this fear is based on race. The thing that I find interesting in the whole issue of migratory workers, or undocumented workers, I should say, is the fact that I don't know who was checking the papers, the passport papers for the pilgrims when they landed at Plymouth Rock. You know, it's amazing that that they could do that, and the people, you know, millions of Europeans came across. There was no hue and cry about them coming to this country. While you have people from South America, where there is, you know, as soon as you mention that, then technically people are supposed to be here illegally. One of the most difficult things we face as citizens, those of us who are here as permanent resident status or citizens of this country, is the fact that the majority of the population, in some instances, confuses undocumented workers with local residents, and has a tendency to strongly label both groups as being here illegally. Hmm. As you said, we need to explain the difference between a migrant worker and an undocumented worker.
Well, gentlemen, thanks to both of you for joining us today during midday. We've been listening to Jose Trejo, Executive Director of the Spanish-Speaking Affairs Council. That's an advocacy agency for Minnesota's Hispanic population. Also with us, Manuel Guerrero, the former chairperson of the Chicano Studies Department at the University of Minnesota, now a practicing attorney in St. Paul.